Hello, welcome back into An Abundance of Not. It is September the 3rd. Hope everyone had a great Labor Day. Garrett here, obviously, with Brad and Wade.
Hello.
Obviously.
I mean, who else would it be?
Oh, yeah. Well, yeah, I mean, come on.
Yeah. Exactly. What's going on?
Oh, not much. How you doing?
Oh, fantastic. It's great when your first day back at work is on hump day. Just makes the rest of the week just go flying by.
It's all downhill from here.
That's right.
You also know it's great?
When it's your Friday?
Exactly. There you go. Good job.
When Wednesday is your Friday. And copious amounts of alcohol are yet to be consumed.
Awesome.
That's right. I stayed sober just for you two. You're welcome.
Thank you.
Our illustrious
fans. We'd hate to have to ban you from the podcast.
That would be.
That would be unfortunate. Then it would just be two dudes talking, and nobody wants to hear that.
Two dudes talking. There's probably a few podcasts that are just like that that probably do just fine. Anyway.
Very true. Moving on.
Labor Day. Shenanigans? Got any worth sharing?
Shenanigans? No, not really.
Okay.
Went back to the doctor. My youngest's arm is getting better. They took him out of the cast and put him in a removable splint sleeve thing.
Like just a temporary brace?
Yep, just a brace. So, and the doctor said, you know, that's what they would expect. Everything's going well. He can take it on and off, you know, leave it on to sleep with, leave it on to do activities with. But if he's just sitting watching TV or, you know, anything like that, take it off, let it breathe. So
essentially wear it as much as possible when there's going to be movement in that area.
Yeah, exactly.
Gotcha.
Yep. So
how did soccer go? Or was there soccer with the holiday?
Nope. Nope, that's it. Soccer season's over.
That was fast. How was the final outcome?
We ended up tied, I think. Wins and losses.
Okay.
Oh, we went.
Batting 50%. So,
yeah, you know, considering it's our first time coaching, not too bad.
There you go.
I'll take it. Once a year on Labor Day weekend, there is a major auction in town for collector's cars. It's the world's largest collector's car auction.
Oh, is it one of those, was it Jackson or whatever it is?
Jackson Barrett. It's the same kind of thing. It's not them.
Okay.
But it's the same concept.
Nice.
So we went up there. It's over the long weekend, so we went up and checked out some of the cars.
That'd be fun.
Got to stand nervously close to, you know, $300,000 cars.
Did I tell you guys I saw a Bugatti Veyron around the corner from us like 2 weeks ago?
No.
No. Well, I saw a Bugatti Veyron around the corner from us a couple weeks ago.
Really? I had no idea.
Yeah.
Speaking of which, the car show is at the Anaheim Convention Center again in October. We went to it for your birthday last year.
We did, and I'm trying to think if that was worthwhile to go again.
Hmm.
I mean, it was interesting, but
it's a one-time shot, so...
I mean, the LA one is the one that's fun. You get all the custom stuff.
Yeah.
Sure.
So that could be a good one. The boat shows are always fun if you're at least mildly aware of water vessels. Nice. So, yeah. The car show was cool. Or the auction.
Yep. Absolutely.
Nice. Wade, you got anything of note?
Are you kidding me?
You worked. I was gone. He was happy.
Standard weekend.
Not really. Went to court.
Yes.
Went to court. How'd that go?
I don't even want to call him gentleman. The guy didn't even show up.
Well, that's good for you,
yeah,
right?
So judge just went, oh, he's not here. All right, we give the ruling in your favor. He now owes me the sum of $2,500, and we're trying to get the car back again.
Alrighty.
And upon visiting the guy's shop, the car had relocated now a second time without notice.
The entire shop, they moved to a different location the second time.
Yep. Luckily, it's like a building over, so it's not like it was you know, a different city or something, but still no notice. The car had like living room furniture in the back of it.
It has like love seats in the back.
Nothing's been touched on it. It's clear that they've not touched the car.
Like, were they using it for storage, or did they use it to actually haul stuff?
Yeah, it's pretty much a storage bin.
I think when they moved, they utilized the fact that it had a bed and put stuff in there so they wouldn't have to, like, physically carry it. And then when they parked it, nothing got touched after that.
It's in the back of the shop. I mean, you'd really have to look.
Yeah, it's buried. We ordered a carburetor and had it sent directly to them. It was sitting in the box in the office, clearly untouched. So yeah, I mean, the guys are just shady. And the guy came clean and said that he knew he had no grounds to stand on in the court, so why even bother wasting his time? You know, he knew it wasn't going to work out for him, so why put in any effort?
How far away is Chino from San Bernardino?
I have no idea.
Because that's where he was, in Chino.
Yeah, well.
Punk. Well, then after that, the whole debacle. Of course, our father now, once he got the ruling, was, oh, well, I get money? I'm going to go get the money right now. Where's my money? I'm entitled to money. And getting all pissy with him, it's like, dude, I don't need you on the warpath right now.
Yeah. That's just personality.
He's just coming here. Where'd you going? I was like, I'm looking for your truck. It's back here. It's like, dude, calm down.
Yeah.
But the next day, I went and saw a celebratory movie. Which we can get into at movies.
I went out to the river with my daughter to hang out with my dad for the 3 days, came back midday Monday, had a slight personality...
Hiccup?
Hiccup. It's a good way to very casually put it. The boat wouldn't start on Saturday. We found out that it has I wasn't really aware of it because I haven't dealt with the boat that much, but the boat has an auxiliary kill switch from the ignition key, in addition to the ignition key. And that was turned off.
Aren't you supposed to strap it to you in case you fall out?
Yeah, exactly.
Yep.
So that was turned off. So we're sitting there trying to crank the boat, and it's not starting. It's not getting spark. So we're just flooding the engine full of gas. We find out that that's turned off. We click it back on. It still won't start because we flooded it with gas. He's getting all hot and bothered because it just fired up yesterday, and why won't it work now? I hate this crap. So I had to call him down and say, look, we've been cranking it for 30 minutes with just pouring gas in the thing. Let's give it 10 or 15 and let it kind of dissipate. Sure enough, we go over it, fired up, and that was about the extent of it. But that's just kind of his personality. If it doesn't go right away, chaos can ensue.
Sure.
Without maybe taking a step back and being a little analytical and figuring out what's going on. But aside from that, yeah, it was a good weekend. Hung out on the water both Saturday and Sunday. Came back midday Monday. Daughter tried her hand at fishing again, unfortunately did not catch anything. One of the guys in the park gave us his kneeboard. My daughter tried that in February, so now she has her own kneeboard. She tried it out a couple times, had fun, but wiped out, so more practice is in order.
Soreness?
Not on my part.
Okay.
She might be a little sore, but she's a trooper, so no serious concerns there. Awesome. I did my best to stay out of the shade or stay out of the sun, and it paid off. I didn't get any sunburns, so I'm happy about that accomplishment.
Awesome.
And with that, I think we've beaten that personal stuff to death. We'll jump into some movies. So, unfortunately, this week, a few different sources from what's being released appears to be nothing, or at least nothing very significant that many of the websites felt need to express. So, that skips us ahead to the box office. Marvel's Guardians of the Galaxy pulled in another $22.2 million. That is against its $170 million budget. And so far in total, they've pulled in $280 million. So, doing pretty good. Number two, Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles pulled in an additional 15.7 against its 125 budget, pulling in a total of 166. So they've met their quota. If I Stay came in third at 11.6 on top of last week. It had a budget of $11 million, so it's, I think, now doubled its budget. And Let's Be Cops, the comedy, pulled in another $10.5 million against its $17 million budget. I don't have the totals for that. Honorable mentions, As Above, So Below, pulled in $10.3 million. It only had a $5 million budget, though, so no one's crying about that.
Oh, that's a pretty low-budget movie.
Yeah, so I'll be interested to see what Wade's take is on his viewing of that, and if it seemed like it was a low-budget movie or not. The November Man, that's the Pierce Brosnan spy movie, pulled in $10.2 million against its $15 million budget. And the other two, which were the foreign movies that came out, didn't really have any info expressed. So, with that, Wade, movie critiques.
Well, as stated, I went on my second week day of the weekend. I did go see a movie. It was As Above, So Below. Low budget movie. I mean, they could get away with it. Because, I mean, technically they didn't have to build anything. I mean, in the cameras, I mean, you probably could have just went with GoPros, considering.
Oh, yeah?
Technically it was GoPros. I mean, there was camera-mounted headlamps.
Yep.
So you could have just... They basically went with GoPros. And obviously the catacombs under Paris already built, so they don't need to build a set for that. I mean, yeah, it was perfectly reasonable for them to get away with it, but they didn't chintz out on it.
So it wasn't obvious to the viewer that it was a low-budget movie from a production standpoint.
Yeah.
Aside from obviously having no big-name actors in it, that's obviously a typically a pretty good giveaway that there's not a lot of money invested.
Yeah, but sometimes you don't need big actors to make a movie. Anywho... story revolves, begins with the main character looking for the Philosopher's Stone. This is a...
Harry Potter? What?
Wow.
well, that's what you need to look in the mirror. It's in the mirror.
Yes, I'm aware.
Okay.
Okay.
Sorry, what was that, Brad?
I said you need to look in the mirror.
That's where the Sorcerer slash Philosopher's Stone was.
Okay. I was like...
See, you've got... Maybe you need to go back and get touch base with...
Continuing on, this is actually a very highly valuable artifact, which was created through the first science of alchemy, which is the science of converting base metals into gold.
I believe that's metallurgy.
It was first called alchemy.
It's alchemy.
Original, that was the original purpose for alchemy, was trying to influence? Okay.
Metallurgy is the study of metals. Alchemy was turning base into gold.
Oh, okay. I knew that I didn't know what I was talking about. I'm sure.
So, the main character finds... I shouldn't want to go through it all, but she does get to a... The group gets to a particular point within the caverns where...
Stuff goes awry?
I kind of want to go all hell breaks loose, but yeah.
Fair. Okay, so based on your horror experience and the quality of this movie, do you recommend this? Was it a waste of time?
I recommend seeing it once.
Okay. It's not a movie with a lot of repeatability.
Much like most horror movies, it's after you know what happens, you know what happens.
Yeah, I guess that's true.
It's like, I know how they exercise the spirit. I know everyone gets out safe or doesn't, so I'm not going to let that one out. Some very interesting ways people go out. So,
alrighty.
Yep, I do say go and see it if you've got some time to kill, but... It's probably nice, not everyone's there. Cup of tea.
Nice pun. Time to kill.
Thank you.
Okay, so if you're into horror, see it, but only once.
Yeah.
All right.
Keep in mind, this is the season when we're going to start seeing a lot of those horror movie trailers with Halloween 2 months away.
So keep tuned on that. With that, I think that was lengthier than it had to be. And let's jump into some news.
Interesting news out this week. Sad news, really. Following on the heels of Target with their data breach earlier this year, Home Depot has been found to have a similar problem. Security blogger Brian Krebs, who first reported the breach on Tuesday, this is very fresh, says that in his research, it appears that the data breach has occurred at nearly all of Home Depot's 2,200 stores in the U.S.
Wow.
Yeah. Going back several months, near as he could tell, it started in April, late April or early May, so they've had quite a few months of access to the point-of-sale machines in Home Depot stores.
Is this why that I've probably gotten a new ATM card?
Do you shop at Home Depot much?
Not much, but it's probably just a broad shot. That's what...
Yeah. It may not be yet. They're just starting to try and clean up from it, so expect another new ATM card.
Well, I haven't activated the new one yet, so...
So, the problem with this is, seeing as they were able to get so many stores, or possibly almost all of them, a lot of the banks try to do pattern matching. So, if you only shop at Home Depots in your local area, and then all of a sudden they start to see charges from Iowa, that raises a red flag that, you know, something's not right, and you may get a phone call going, hey, is this you?
Were you in Iowa for...
Yeah. Part of their fraud protection.
Absolutely. I've had that happen on some of mine. Even with as much as I travel, sometimes I'll get a random, hey, we noticed this. Is this actually you? Yep, that's me. Okay.
Just checking in.
So, having this data breach across all their systems allows the thieves, because they stole personal data as well. It's not just card numbers, it's zip codes, zip code information. So it allows them then to package up and sell the stolen credit card information as packages. It's not just a number. But hey, if you're in the Los Angeles area, then we can sell you 200 Home Depot credit cards, or credit cards that are used at Home Depot, that are from zip codes around where you are, therefore not raising suspicion as quickly. This makes it a much more valuable
deal.
Hack. Yeah. Much more valuable deal for the bad guys.
The charges don't appear to be fraudulent to the...
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
The card companies, they just see more transactions in the same area.
Yep.
I want to see the red flag where it's like, but... what's that famous Mexican? Chipotle. It's like, bought Chipotle at 12:45 and was also at Home Depot at 12:46.
And they're 65 miles apart. Yeah. Wait, how'd you do that?
Wait a minute. Yep. No, I don't know how sensitive the bank's tracker system is, but obviously I'm sure it's fairly well fine-tuned.
It was pretty fine-tuned when I... that whole fiasco at Saddle Ranch. I mean, it was like a big bill, and they were like, nope, this isn't going through like the first swipe.
Oh, yep. When you were there with coworkers?
Exactly.
Yep.
So that's pretty untenable, well, from Bank of America, so I don't know if anyone else.
This is the latest in a fairly decent line, though. I mean, we had Target, which was the other big one, but we've also had breaches at Neiman Marcus and P.F. Chang's. So, with Home Depot following on the tail, it's definitely highlighting that we have an issue with our financial system. It's the point-of-sale terminals are just way too easy to get into.
Well, I wonder if Home Depot is going to go the way of Target, because they have their own credit line and credit cards. If they will start working towards the next generation of digital transactions like we have in Europe, like we talked about with the Target situation.
Sure.
It'd be interesting.
I'm certain, almost certain they will. Plus, then they will benefit from the fact that the entire industry is moving that way. End of this year, start of next.
Yep.
They're going to start the rollout of the new chipped cards.
That's good news for us.
Yep.
So, moving on, I think.
Sure.
Tesla, your favorite electric car company.
Well, that was very specific.
You like that?
Not really. Yes.
Not just your favorite car company, your favorite electric car company. That's a very qualified statement.
That's right. I mean, it's a niche market.
Yeah.
It really is. they are riding the flames of success on this one. They had an outside analyst who is from, let's see here, the Stifel Equity Research Group, came in and kind of examined and analyzed Tesla and gave them some pretty favorable reviews, causing their stock prices to jump up to its record high. Their stock ended Tuesday evening at $284.89 a share.
Now, man, I wish I owned some of that.
That's right. Well, you may still want to get on it because the analyst predicts that their stock will be worth $400 a share by 2017 as a result of them planning to release a more economical car, a more mass-produced car at around $35,000 versus the current model, which is priced at roughly $70,000. They're also contracted a deal in China with one of their mobile phone companies, who I guess also has other interests involved. Actually, the company is contracted or doing a deal with Tesla to put their charging stations, develop a network of Tesla charging stations in China. They also are working on or plan to open their quote-unquote Gigafactory in 2017, which is roughly a $5 billion investment. All this leading to more products and potentially higher profitability and therefore higher stock prices. So if you, like us, are Tesla fans and want to take advantage of something before it's too late, now may be the time to get on the bandwagon. Additionally, for China notes, the government is looking to implement a new tax on gasoline that would help push drivers towards the electric car. And that is according to a Chinese electric car maker, BYD company. So, I mean, if they get a good foothold in China, they can... I mean, that's a huge market.
It is a huge market, and it's a huge market that needs to be tapped just for their own reasons. I mean, they're famous for their levels of pollution.
Yep.
You know, you figure the country has well over a billion people. That's billion with a B.
Billion with a B. That's the magic second time, B number.
It's the second time we've used billion today.
Yep.
Yep.
Tonight, whatever.
For those counting, take a shot. Yep.
make a very dangerous drinking game with this.
But, you know, they have such a large population. If Tesla can pull this off and make it economical, China could be a huge market for them.
Yep.
And it would be in China's best interest to build out this charging network, even at government cost, to try and clean up some of their air pollution and you know, make it more comfortable living for them.
Agreed. Yeah. I also saw a headline this week. I didn't get a chance. It actually was on Yahoo's page today about Tesla getting more heat from dealerships because they are apparently selling too many cars. You know, because that's kind of the business of a car maker. I don't know. But again,
I hate it when a business is too successful.
I hate it when they.
I mean, set why up. Would a car manufacturer sell cars? That's just stupid.
And be good at it. I mean, it's
and be, how, and be
how
good
dare
at it.
Dare they?
I mean, look at it from GM's perspective. Why would you make a car people would want to buy? They don't get it.
I mean, why not just go bankrupt and have the government bail you out like everybody else does? I mean,
Shut down all the product lines that people actually liked. Keep the ones that nobody did, and have the government bail you out. I mean, that's how car manufacturers run, isn't it?
That's right. It's the way the world works. I mean, Tesla needs to get on the wagon here.
Before we run this into the ground, this dead horse, it's almost rotting and growing a tree by the fertilizer of its dead corpse. I don't see wow. how. Yeah.
Yeah, that was
a bit too much.
That was descriptive.
You beat the dead horse of beating the dead horse, is what you did there.
That's right. Now we have two trees.
That should be a t-shirt.
Move along.
Now, given China's population, I really don't see a lot of room for cars such as Tesla. I mean, you think most people don't have that much room to put that size of a car. And I think China, I think more of Vespas and scooters and stuff like that.
Well, look at how big China is. You know there's going to be a lot of diversity there. And Tesla is announcing they're making a smaller, more mass-produced car at a cheaper price that may help fit the need over there, that may be a smaller package than their four-door here.
There we go.
You know, I don't know if this is going to be a Prius style. I would imagine would have a little bit more flair.
I hope not.
Than Prius is. Yeah, I agree. but they just said that it was something they're working on, not that they had any, pictures or anything like that. So,
sure. Well, and they're still working on the Model X, which is due to be released next year, which is their SUV.
Gotcha.
So, the Model 3, which is the more compact mass market one, isn't even slated. I don't even know how much work they've even started on, because they're still working on the X. Yep. So,
well, it's in the works at some point. I don't know where in the works, whether that's still design phase, initial prototypes or whatever, but it's something that they have planned.
Agreed.
And with that, Wade, now you can take the reins of said dead horse.
Wow. That was a very morbid segue, considering who I'm going to be talking about.
Maybe you should change topics.
Hey, we've already said it. The late, great Robin Williams. We did speak about gamers petitioning to have him in the World of Warcraft world. And it has been data mined that he will be put in the next expansion, the Warlords of Draenor, which is due out this November. The title, or the character name, Robin, open parenthesis, the entertainer, close parenthesis, was data mined, along with three different models, one being a djinn, or genie, is people who aren't really that more knowledgeable in the, was it Arabian history?
Probably Arabian history.
Of course, this is Allah with genie from Disney's Aladdin. A female human with a male voice.
Okay.
I haven't seen.
That's interesting.
A la Mrs. Doubtfire.
Okay.
Oh, of course.
Yeah. Sure. And a...
Sorry, didn't put that one together.
Yeah, I was actually trying to see if either of you would get that. Nope.
Nope. It wasn't an initial completely reaction. Over me.
And a male human in suspenders. I think it's like Walk or something like that.
I wonder if that was from Mork and Mindy?
Mork and Mindy, yeah.
What it was.
Okay.
Yeah. So... what we're possibly theorizing is that the djinn model will go through the other two models as a show for the players. That's kind of a cool segment if that's what they're going to go with.
So that would be the base model, and it would have the ability to turn into the others.
Yeah. Yes.
Cool.
I guess my question, and this is more of a general World of Warcraft question, with NPCs, is there actually audio from a interaction, or is it purely just text?
Yeah, there is audio. And if people do look up the legendary questline for Mista Pandaria, you will find the character Rathion, who is fully voice acted.
Okay, so then my follow-up question would be, and I'm sure you don't have the answer to this, is purely speculation, but it would be awesome if they could get access and or rights to physical Robin Williams vocal content and implement that in the game so that people can actually, you know, they see a character and they're like, okay, well maybe this is the version, or maybe this or whatever, that they actually have his voice, people be like, yep, okay, that's the one that was, you know, credited for Robin.
Yep, well, as there is always, that I don't know there's any communication between Warner Brothers and Blizzard, the game's creating and overseeing company.
So time will tell.
Yeah.
I mean, fantastic.
It would be great if they did. I don't see them going any other way. I mean, how can you have an NPC carry a name of an actor and not be voice acted?
Yeah. Whether it's just snippets of stuff here and there, if they could find someone who's a damn good impersonator.
That still catches them in some iffy territory, though.
Yeah, I mean, you want them to have original content, but you also would like a voice to be tied to it. So,
well, but there's ways they can do that. I mean, I don't know all the details, but I know there's some people that create raps out of one of the news presenters, including making him say stuff that he has never said.
Yeah, that was on, yeah, it's one of the late nights. I think it's Fallon. Yeah. I think it's Jimmy Fallon.
Maybe.
Either way, anyway, yeah, they're hilarious.
The point is, you can take snippets of audio and rearrange them. I mean, we have the technology to do that. So if they could get access and authorization to, you know, the audio archives, they could essentially posthumously voice him.
Yeah. I don't see why not. I mean, if Warner Brothers, if they get in contact in Warner Brothers. Wow.
Yeah, wow.
I'm not even drinking, God. Denies this. I mean, it seems kind of stupid on my point. You think someone would want to be immortalized for not only just image-wise, but voice as well. Especially someone with such an illustrious history.
I agree. All right, Brad, why don't you pick up and go?
I can certainly do that. So, Samsung had one of their conferences very recently, today I believe it was, and announced a new phone. I'm doing this one so that, you know, I'm not completely the Apple correspondent here. We're going to get into that next week, seeing as their Apple's conference is on Tuesday and we record on Wednesday. So this week we're covering Samsung's conference. They announced a really neat concept phone. It's called the Samsung Galaxy Note Edge. Let's see if I can find a screen size here. It is a 5.6-inch screen.
That is correlation to their current Note, which is, I believe, 5.5.
The Note 4 is a 5.7, so it's slightly smaller.
Okay.
Has a 64-gigabyte option and a 32-gigabyte option.
Plus, Samsung has auxiliary memory cards you can slide into it, so...
Sure. decent-sized... Unlike Apple. We're not even going there. Decent-sized battery life at 3,000 milliamp hours. But the really neat feature about this is the right-hand edge of the phone. I'm looking at an actual shot of the phone here. The right-hand edge of the phone kind of curls off. The article describes it almost as an infinity pool effect.
Sure.
Where if you're looking across the screen from the left-hand side, it just kind of drops off. It's curled. It's actually a curved screen, but only on the edge. The main surface of the screen is flat. Links will be in the show notes. Check it out. It's a whole lot easier to look at than it is to try and describe. But they've gone an interesting way with this. That right-hand edge where it curves off the main plane, they're creating as like a notifications and shortcut area.
That's what I was seeing when I saw some of the screenshots, too.
Yeah, where you can scroll through an entirely different set of data on that right-hand edge than the main screen is showing. That, you know, maybe they could use it for switching between apps or, you know, notifications. Hey, you got a text message that is completely independent of the main screen information. Their timing for this release is rather interesting. All the sources are pointing to Apple's conference being a fairly substantial, a big one, let's say. So it seems that Samsung wanted to preempt them to get in and get theirs out, and it's definitely a cool looking phone.
Yeah, I mean, so when I saw it earlier, and this is just images on the internet like anybody else, as you were saying, the screen wraps over on that edge, and from what I could see, there were, like shortcuts to maybe the phone function, or I'm sure because it's Android, you can customize it, but I'm sure you could put anything on there. One thought I had while you were talking about it is that if you were on like a web browser, that'd be a really cool place to have like a scroll bar.
Yeah,
that you could you got your hand behind the phone, you can take a finger and flick and scroll through it without putting a finger in the middle of the screen.
Yep.
I don't know if it'll have that functionality or not. It's just an idea. My only concern is that having a Samsung, sometimes even in the lock screen, you can hit it the right way that will open up, say, the emergency call feature. I've had my phone call the cops from my pocket.
Oops.
Yeah, and then they realize, or they, I guess they, it happens a lot, because instead of responding, they call back to see if it's an actual emergency or if it was just a butt dial. And they left me a message saying, hey, we got this missed call from you. I just want to make sure nothing's going on. Which is kind of cool, but also scary, because if I was trying to make a call for emergency purposes,
you didn't get the call back. Did they even send anyone?
Yeah, no. And they just call and leave me a message. Well, if I'm in a situation where I couldn't pick up the phone, like they're like, oh, it must be another butt dial thing. Well, now, you know, someone's dead on the street. So that's a little concerning there. But I guess what I'm going with is that if you have that side screen on the edge, I guess I'm concerned that maybe it might get bumped in your pocket, because the Samsung screen is not like the Apple. It doesn't take much to activate the Samsung touch factor, whereas Apple's very specific, which is really nice about the Apple. So I just hope that people don't run into more issues like that with this feature. But aside from that, I think it is really cool. And I like the innovation that that comes with a curved structural surface that is also a touchscreen.
Yeah, it's definitely a new way of approaching things, and I'll be interested to see. You know, there's always a first person, and then, you know, everybody else jumps on the bandwagon, and a lot of times, most of the time, it's just copycat me too kind of thing. But, you know, every now and then, you know, kind of like the iPhone did, it sparks a whole new concept.
Yeah. And that's what I really praised Apple for when the iPhone came out, is because it was so revolutionary. And aside from mild internals and things here and there, I have since scratched my head, because they haven't really done anything with significant wow factor thereafter, in my opinion. You've had a lot of people that copycatted Samsung, LG, pretty much everybody has gone to the iPhone style of phone. Some, in my opinion, have surpassed. Some are still catching up. And when Samsung does something like this, that, like you said, is something new, I'm sure we'll see some more copycats down that road. Hopefully Apple announces something next week that's got some girth to it.
The only problem I can see right now is, like, cases. How's that going to work?
That's another concern, too. I mean, you could still do like a sandwich top to bottom, maybe.
Sure.
But if you're going to utilize that functionality, then...
I mean, I could see
you have to have that right edge available.
Yeah, yep. Exactly. I mean, I can see that being used as like also a switcher between like opened apps on your phone. But
yeah,
It's the whole problem is like how you hold your phone, you'd be hitting that switch to different. Speaking of which,
yep.
Hey, you're talking about me.
you know, you do bring up an interesting point though about Apple's lack of innovation, as it's been termed in the media,
as I so crudely put it,
and. I definitely understand where that feeling comes from. You know, I've had similar feelings as well. But when you step back and think about it, look through the history, they weren't the first to make an MP3 player. They just made it awesome. They weren't the first to make a smartphone. They just made it awesome. They weren't the first to make a tablet. They just made it awesome. I mean, it's not an every year thing. They can't come up with these game-changing things every year.
Sure.
You know, from the iPod to the iPhone was 6-7 years. From the iPhone to the iPad was 4 or 5.
And to be fair, I mean, let's level on one thing real quick before we really should move on. But the iPod, the actual unit itself was nothing special. What made the iPod awesome was the program that you had access to for it. Without iTunes, the iPod would be nothing.
I agree with you that iTunes definitely revolutionized the music purchasing, but I think I would go the other way with it. I would say it was the interface. You know, the MP3 iPod players. Interface? What's that?
The actual iPod interface?
Oh, the actual iPod interface. All the MP3 players up until then had been crude push-button, very basic screen, and iPod came along with the click wheel.
Sure.
You know, the touch-sensitive wheel that you could just run your finger around and scroll through menus very quickly. They made it easy to use. And the same thing with the
Apple's way.
Yeah.
As is Apple's way. It's the same thing with the phone. You know, I had Windows Phone, I had Palm Phone, I had, you know, there were Blackberries, and they all worked fine, but Apple made them easy to use.
Sure.
The interface really is where they, well, that and physical design. They make cool stuff, and they make it easy to use. And so, you know, we come into the cycle that we're in now. We have an awesome phone that's easy to use. Where do you go from here?
Yeah, but I mean, you look at the first iPhone, and you look at the iPhone 5. Obviously, there's been a progression. No argument there. You know, I had a 3G, I had a 4S. The 5 wasn't a substantial enough difference for me to stick with Apple.
Sure.
The wow factor came with the iPhone and the iPhone 3G. I mean, those were the big ones.
Mm-hmm.
And since then, obviously internals have modernized. Obviously the style has modernized and there's been changes. But after that initial wow of touchscreen smartphone, that is awesome. No argument there. But yeah, that next level of, wow, this is awesome again, I don't think Apple's really, it hasn't happened yet for the iPhone. My two cents.
It hasn't happened again.
Yes.
So, well, and
hopefully the iPhone 6 will change that.
Well, we can hope. And it'll be interesting to see what they announce next Tuesday. You know, at least the basics of what we think we know, it's going to be a little bit of catch-up. You know, the rumor is that it'll be a bigger screen, a 4.7 and or a 5.5-inch screen, as opposed to the 4-inch screen that they have now. So it'll be a little bit bigger to bring it in line. You know, there's going to be some catch-up stuff, but again, it's the interface that's really going to make it. You know, with what was announced at WWDC, with the interface to the health gadgets, you know, your pedometers and heart rate monitors, and the interface to your smart home, and they're trying to pull everything together into a single interface, and I think that's going to be the major feature. Whatever the hardware is, will or won't wow people, you know, depending on your point of view. But if they make it really easy to use and really compelling to use, I think that's their big plus.
Yep. Well, I'm not arguing. I just, you know, hope they do something that keeps people interested.
Agreed.
And before we lose people's attention, we're going to change. Been coming across some really interesting articles lately, and I definitely wanted to get the perceptions of someone who is in the thick of things. Apparently there's been some significant debate and some significant diverted flights as a result of the great seat recliner debate. And this has gone so far to, obviously, been a big enough issue to divert three flights from their original path, but also some significant polls to understand where Americans fall in this. But with it, before we get to some of the numbers, what is a persistent traveler's take on the etiquette of flying and reclining your chair?
Typically, out of courtesy, I don't recline my chair unless I've been upgraded to first class, in which case there's a lot more room. If I'm sitting in first class, I will tend to recline just a little bit, not the full extent, but just a little bit. If I'm in economy, then I tend not to.
Gotcha. So some of the stats here, there's actually three different surveys that were kind of taken. One was based on overnight flights on the acceptability versus reclining, the daytime flights, and then the third one on a device now called the Knee Defender. I don't know if you've heard about this.
I have.
It's a little device for those who haven't. It's a little piece of plastic, a hook that you can kind of jam into the seat in front of you to prevent that person from reclining their chair. You essentially lock their recliner in the upright position so they can't recline into your space.
It's going to be a screw-you device, isn't it?
Well, pretty much. Well, here's some of the numbers. So on overnight flights, 24% of people say it's unacceptable to recline your chair, whereas 78% say it's okay, and 9% say which is kind of interesting.
Whatever.
Yeah, pretty much. Regarding the Knee Defender, 65% of people say it's unacceptable to use. Which is, I mean, fair. I mean, people have the right to do whatever they want. You shouldn't infringe on that. That's all about the etiquette.
The right doesn't mean you should.
That's right.
Let's just get that in there.
Let's see here. One more deal. I'm trying to make sure I'm reading the right numbers. 43%. Oh, here we go. I'm sorry. I should have known these. I'm not sure really the final numbers on the daytime stuff, but I guess my biggest concern or statement in this is that, especially in coach or economy, those chairs only recline like 2 inches. I mean, if that. It's not a significant difference that I wonder, especially on a daytime flight, why do you need to recline your chair? Because the space the person has behind you, the space that person has, is already limited. And when you recline, it just makes things that much harder, especially if they have a laptop that they're trying to work or... knock a drink over. At night, I could see it being more acceptable because people are trying to sleep and any little bit helps. But, I mean, I guess I don't get how it can be such a significant issue, though, to start diverting flights.
People race too much.
So
people are getting into, essentially, fights over
right there.
Stop reclining your seat.
That's
so the interesting thing as far as reclining during the daytime is flying is not the glamorous, you know, you don't get dressed up in suit and tie and have cocktail waitresses in the cabin like it used to be. It's become a very bus-like experience, okay?
Yeah, so it's essentially just been a cram as many people as you can in and maximize capacity.
You don't get to have the fish or the beef anymore.
No, you get maybe peanuts maybe a soda.
So a lot of people, and this is coming from experience, a lot of people tend to sleep the flight away. Yes, you do get a few that are working or doing, you know, Sudoku or crosswords or whatever, but the majority of people tend to sleep the flight away, and reclining even that couple of inches can make it slightly more comfortable in what is admittedly one of the most uncomfortable places to sit on Earth.
Right? Those chairs suck.
That being said, in my opinion, and that's all this is, in my opinion, I place the blame for this squarely at the feet of the airlines.
Oh, no argument there.
Oh, yeah. Sardine can syndrome.
There are ways of solving this. They have sold me a seat that has a recline function.
Yes.
Does that mean I am wrong for using a function on a seat, you know, that has been sold to me? Am I going to sell you a battery and say don't ever put it in a remote control car?
Oh, no, I totally agree with you.
It's yours. This is a feature.
That's a hard comparison,
though. That being said...
No, it's not.
That being said, they have decreased the amount of space. It's called the seat pitch. The amount of space between the seats so much that they are starting to create their own problem.
Oh, I agree. If they would take out...
In my opinion...
If they were to take out a row or two of seating, and let's say this is, you know, a moderate plane, so that's three seats on each side, that's six, that's 12 seats, and distribute now that space over the remaining seats, you probably wouldn't get any issue and people wouldn't care anymore because they've got, quote-unquote, ample room that would accommodate someone reclining their chair. But because they've
crammed us in like
sardines.
Well, I think it's a combination issue.
What's that?
I think it's a combination issue, okay? First of all, they've crammed all the seats together, but the seats still have a recline feature.
Yeah, exactly.
There are other airlines that have dealt with this. They have crammed their seats closer together, but they have installed seats that don't recline. Therefore, when I sit down in the seat, I don't have the expectation that I can, therefore I don't try, therefore no problem.
Also agree. Set the proper expectation.
Set the proper expectation. In their never-ending pursuit of more profits, they've shortcut too many things. And it's coming back to bite them. If you're going to cram the seats closer together, then spend the money on the new seats that don't recline, and you don't have this problem.
Yep.
Or take fewer passengers and give more room and keep the seats that you already own.
Now, here's a question for someone who travels now. If you were to get on a plane in Fort Wayne, and you had to fly to... I don't know, let's say Montana. And that flight ends up getting diverted because a passenger had an issue with another passenger. They had to land at the nearest airport. What sort of concessions are made for you, a innocent in the situation, to get you to your final destination?
None, except that they will get me to my final destination.
So they got to land the plane you're on, get you on another plane that's going to fly you to the destination you were originally intending to go.
Correct. In that case, what they'll probably do is land the plane, remove the offending passengers, the two that are fighting, refuel the plane, and everybody else will stay on.
Okay.
And they'll continue.
But there's a cost for that, obviously.
Absolutely.
So I guess my question then is, how many of these diversions are going to have to happen before it becomes cost-effective to make a change?
It's going to be a weird
call.
But
that's my point of where... Sorry, go ahead, Wade.
Also, the thing is, that's going to be a weird call for like the pilot to be like, yeah, we got to come into your airport because we have two people fighting.
I'm sure that happens way more than you think.
It's still kind of catchy.
Whether it's a seat issue... or a racial issue, or a noisy kid issue that someone has, you know, a issue about. I'm sure there's a multitude of reasons as why planes get diverted, but the fact that
bomb
now,
threat.
Now a common one bomb threat, a common one being that that person reclined their seat into my space, is kind of hilarious.
That's what I'm saying.
In its own right.
It'll be kind
but
of
that's
a hard...
kind of my point of where this is coming back to haunt the airlines.
Oh, I totally agree with
they,
you. They,
they have crammed so many people on, but didn't want to spend the money to upgrade to, you know, more comfortable seats that don't recline. So they're trying to cut corners everywhere, and now it's coming back to bite them in terms of time and fuel when these passengers get annoyed at each other.
Yep, and what this will also cause is delays if people have connecting flights. You'll now miss your connecting flight because you had to land in, you know, BFE to take back off again. That takes time.
Secondly, that's...
Luggage yep. can get lost as a result if you have a connecting flight because now it's not getting on the plane it needs to. There's a lot of cost that can be involved in a situation like this.
I mean, that's not even only with that plane. I mean, that could be... That can cause troubles for plane B, C, and D because that's the other point. Guys have now have to quickly get plane A that's come in, refueled and reset to get back up in the air, but they're not working on plane B, C, and D. That causes problems.
You're
for...
talking about the other planes that should have been gotten their service before takeoff?
Exactly.
I see that as being less likely
yeah.
because of the staff on hand.
But... Granted, I could go into work on Saturday and I know guys and be like, so how do you guys handle this? I and have an update for you next
okay.
week, but still.
Okay, but Wade is right. There is a knock-on effect. When this flight gets diverted and delayed, that plane is actually needed at the destination for another flight.
Well, not even
and
that.
And then the crew may be going to a different plane again.
Yeah, it's the chaos.
You know, there's...
Essentially.
There's... Say that again?
It's the chaos theory, essentially. You know, one little one hiccup in the system affects so many other things that people don't realize.
Agreed. And again, this is another side effect of them cramming so many passengers on every given flight, is there isn't a lot of slack left in the system for when these, they're called IROPs, I-R-O-P, irregular operations, when they occur, because the next 15 flights are already full. So we're sorry you got in late because another passenger was unruly. You've already missed your connection. The soonest we can get you on another connecting flight is tomorrow afternoon.
Yeah.
Sorry.
Yep.
And this happens at, like,
so the
both airports, the one that they have to divert the flight to and the final destination of the flight A.
Yeah, the knock-on effect is huge.
Yep.
But like I said at the top of the article, the blame rests squarely on the airlines. They're trying to squeeze so much out of people that, you know, it's finally coming home to roost that people have had enough.
Yeah. But I mean,
you've nickeled
side...
and dimed us for less and less service, for less space, for less features.
Yeah, the flip
you know?
Side to this
and,
is
and...
just common respect for someone, you know, you have to deal with, though. I mean, if you don't want someone reclining into your space, then make sure you're not someone who's going to recline into someone else's. Have a decent code of conduct.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Live or lead by example, not by voice.
Agreed. Actions over words.
What was that phrase? Working towards peace is better than 1,000 people preaching it. One person working towards peace is better than 1,000 people preaching it.
Sure.
Absolutely. I'll go with that.
Yep. Well, and with preaching, I think we've preached enough for today. Any closing words, Wade?
PAX was going on. If you guys want to see what kind of games are coming up the horizon, I did link a channel in the show notes where you can get data on all kinds of games that will be headed down the pipeline.
Fantastic. Next week, we'll definitely have more Apple news as their press conference comes up. And so keep posted there. And we'll see you then.
keep on gaming.
That's a wrap.